Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know, it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake, you're thinking about things, you get uncomfortable, you wake up early, and you just can't fall asleep again. There are hundreds of reasons why you can't get 7 hours of quality sleep every single night, and I've probably at least told you 100. But hey, listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Yes, weight. Would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't have enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you will be amazed by how much better you sleep and how much more rested you feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners of the Health Fix Podcast, you guys want to go over to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. And you can save up to 42%. Yes, that's right, 42% savings on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. Hey, Health Junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Joy Kong. She's a world-renowned stem cell doctor. She is the founder and creator of Chara Omni, but she was also the founder and president of Uplift Longevity Center in Los Angeles, California. She was a psychiatrist at one point and then fell in love with anti-aging medicine and regenerative medicine. And today we're going to be talking all about her journey, but not only that, we're going to be going into what is anti-aging medicine, how can it help you, and stem cells. How can stem cells in your skincare products rejuvenate your skin? So I've been using Dr. Kong's product, Chara Omni, for over a month now, and I really have noticed that my skin is fresher. I mean, it's got more hydration to it, but it's also feeling softer as a whole. I'm really liking it. So I can't wait to introduce you to Dr. Joy Kong. So let's just jump into the podcast.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode of The Health Fix, I am interviewing Dr. Joy Kong. And you guys are in for a treat because we're talking skincare today. And just how important it is to really know what is in your products and if it's really effective or not. And today we're going to be talking about efficacy of things, and we're going to get a little controversial. We're talking some stem cells. So hold on to seat your pants. We are jumping in. Dr. Joy, welcome to The Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much, Janine. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to talk about skincare because it's one of the things I haven't done much on the podcast. And when I saw your product, I was like, wow, there's a lot of great ingredients in here. And being a little bit of a skincare nerd over the years, I've kind of been through all kinds of different products, and I know kind of what's fluff and what's real deal. And definitely you've got the lineup in the Chara Omni products that are just wow. So folks, we got to talk about that. But before we get there, I want to know a little bit more about you, Dr. Joy, how you went from being a triple board certified physician in psychiatry, neurology, all things not necessarily skin, and pivoted to skin. Tell us your story.
Well, okay. Well, the skin is just part of kind of optimizing a whole person. Mm-hmm. So yes, I started I started in psychiatry after medical school at UCLA, because I just had so much fun when I was doing psychiatry, you know, being on the ward, and I just, the human brain was really fascinating. So the whole body is, of course, that fascinates me too, but the brain is the last frontier. So that's what I went for. And then after some time, I realized that we are kind of missing a lot of components of how to fix the brain, which is the body, because the brain and the body are connected. It's not, the neck is not just a conduit to keep the two together. There's a lot going on in between. So, you know, the psychiatrist, you know, now they have nutritional psychiatry, you know, they're probably still, you know, not widespread, but there's some doctors who are doing some, you know, more holistic work. But before, I would say the only thing that we examine was the thyroid. So if a person comes to us with some kind of mental health issues, we check their thyroid. That took care of the whole body, right? We were not checking anything. We didn't care about nutrition, didn't care about their hormones. We didn't care if they're toxic, if their microbiome, their gut is secreting, you know, the right vitamins for them, or breaking down food. We didn't care about any of those. We checked the thyroid, and it's only simple TSH. We're not even checking anything that's more indicative of thyroid function. So a simple one checking of TSH, and then we took care of the body. And it's just not satisfying, because we're just talking receptor, everything is just hitting the receptor, but there's so many things that can affect the body. So that's when I, you know, coming from a Chinese background, I actually spent my first 20 years in China.
Oh, wow.
So really immersed in the culture, which is a culture that looks at the body in a much more holistic way. You know, that's just part of it. You know, food, you know, oh, eat this food, that's going to decrease the dampness of your body, or that's, you know, going to decrease your liver fire. You know, there's always optimization with even food. You know, that's a common topic that, you know, friends and, you know, get together, we talk about, hey, eat this one, that's going to be better for you. So it's part of the culture. You look in the body, different organs are connected. So I wanted to incorporate psychiatry with Chinese medicine, and I found that very, very difficult, because the Chinese medicine is literally speaking in poetry, whereas the Western medicine is speaking in, you know, scientific, you know, formulas and structures. So what, I tried to integrate it too, but the best I've seen are people who are trying to use both, but are doing it parallel, you know, in parallel. You know, here's your Chinese medicine diagnosis, and this is what we're going to do because the Chinese medicine says this, and this is your Western medicine diagnosis. So let's look at both diagnoses. So that's not really true integration. So my brain wasn't satisfied with that. And then while I tried to optimize my health and my patient's health, and always trying to understand what's going on, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of patients, you know, have very poor, even primary care, right? I was dealing with a lot of indigent population. So they had very, very little help from their own private primary care doctors. So I was functioning as a primary care doctor and their psychiatrist. I was trying to do everything for them. And in the process, I learned a lot about integrative and holistic approach, you know, from a more Western side, because that's a lot of information you can get online and, you know, from papers. So then I came across this discipline called anti-aging medicine, and which is really an offshoot of functional medicine, which is an offshoot, I think, of more natural medicine. So we're all kind of this big family, you know, which I consider as a new medicine. This is a new wave of medicine, and it's here to stay. It's on its upward trajectory, right under the nose of 95% of the doctors that are practicing medicine, you know, the traditional medicine doctors, MDs and DOs. So, but it's going to just take off. So I can see this is a grassroots movement, and the doctors who are doing this either have been sick themselves, or their family members, or people they care about have been sick, and they realize that there's a lot of limitation in the traditional medicine approach. So what happened was I kind of delved into the anti-aging medicine, which is really addressing the causes for aging, which is the driver for decline and disease. So when you can prevent the aging process, that's when you can prevent misery and pain. So from there, I came across stem cells. Of course, in this new medicine, people are much more open to new science. So you know the statistic that they, I think, published in JAMA. They found that new medical research, in order for that to be utilized in medical practice, it takes about 17 years. Yeah. So I don't know who has that kind of time. You know, I'm going to use it. So that's the new medicine is using it. So we are incorporating that, and stem cells is one of those. It's a new medicine, and it's powerful. There's so much active research going on all around the world. So when I saw how powerful it is, first from you know, seeing real cases that people were helped drastically. First one was this doctor told me about this autistic boy taking a cord blood transfusion, and which contains, you know, a lot of stem cells. So just stem cells from the cord blood. And the drastic improvement that his family and his teachers noticed was just astounding. So as a psychiatrist, there was a reason I didn't go into child psychiatry, even though I thought it would be so interesting and to help kids when they're young. But the heavy focus is on autism, and it's kind of a helpless, I think of it as a very depressing field to go into to treat autism, because psychiatrists don't have good ways of helping these kids. They throw them some stimulants, you know, calm them down, you know, because they may have ADHD, or they throw them, you know, antipsychotics or antidepressants, you know, to modulate brain receptors. It really is not doing much good. You try to sedate them most of the time. If you're more sedated, it's causing less trouble. Okay, that's success. There's no improvement in how these kids actually are functioning in the world. So when I saw stem cell therapy can help a devastating condition like that with such rapid and drastic improvement, that's when I thought, okay, there's something that's really incredible here. And that's when I got interested. So I was offering it to patients. And my first patient just got me on the hook, because he was 69 years old. He had knee osteoarthritis. So two orthopedic surgeons separately told him he needed bilateral knee replacement, no question. So he came to me because he's a very active man, you know, goes to a lot of trade shows, you know, he loves nature. He just really didn't want to have the operation. So what I did was I injected some stem cells into both of his knees, and I gave him an IV infusion, because you want to address from both ends, you know, off the knee joint. The outer one third of the cartilage is nourished by the blood supply. The inner two thirds of the cartilage is nourished by the synovial fluid. So I address from both sides. And what's fascinating was the next day, he said, "Hey, you know, I slept through the night, and I haven't done that for decades," because he had rotator cuff injury when his car rolled over. And what's interesting was I didn't even know about it. I never touched his shoulder. I just gave him an IV, and I was hoping to help his knee. But guess what? The cells have the intelligence, and it went to his shoulder, which took, you know, all these for decades. That when he was rolling over in bed, the sharp pain will wake him up. And now the cells found the defect and helped him. Now it's 6 years later. His shoulder's fine. And his knees are great. He's been walking 4 miles every day. And this is 6 years later. He's happy. He's doing fantastic. I mean, how amazing, right? And how is it possible that I won't, you know, want to do it again, you know, that I won't want to provide this to a lot of people? It offers so much hope. And it's so safe and so elegant. Yeah. So it makes it really fun to be a doctor. So anyhow, I'm talking about like my journey of getting into stem cells. And what happened was when I was providing stem cell treatment for my patients and getting products from companies that were producing them, I realized a lot of these companies have very little kind of morals when it comes to, you know, the number one priority should be quality and should be honesty. And I realized they're not doing that. They're lying and cheating just so that they can make a higher profit margin. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, we're in the health field. So, and then I found another company, and there's some similar, you know, different, but still, you know, issues about how they work and how they, you know, the information they're providing patients were not really honest. So that's when I started to I started my own stem cell company. I was like, you know, okay, so if it takes me to do all the legwork to find the right laboratory to produce the right product so I can monitor every process to ensure the quality, not only to my patients, but also to other doctors, because a lot of doctors are using these products that are really not, you know, they've been lied to. So that's how I started this Chara Biologics. And we do provide stem cell product for lots of physicians all over the country. And they do inject, you know, inject into all kinds of, you know, tissues and then I, you know, I'm treating people, and I'm optimizing my own health because I do, IV stem cells on myself every 3 months, but you know, your skin, it will age, right? So your face is getting a lot of environmental insult. So it does have your face takes on more damage from the environment. So I thought, okay, I want to optimize myself. So I still wasn't thinking of doing any, you know, making cream. I just wanted to find something really good for me, and I couldn't find it. I needed something that's all natural, because that is a basic principle. And I'm just so sick of seeing all these synthetic ingredients and how much problems they're causing, not just for, you know, systemically, you know, mostly. I think, you know, people think they're putting something good on their face, and your face may, you know, temporarily looks fine, but you are absorbing all these synthetic ingredients. It's causing all kind of metabolic disruptions and cellular damages. And I'm just not, I just, you know, I've attended too many conferences that know too much of the science to put that on my face. So, and then I realized I couldn't find a decent product. There's some all natural products. There are a lot of products. I want people to be very aware. A lot of products will say all natural. Yeah. If you actually flip over their bottle, and that I experienced that. I bought some expensive Korean skincare product after using it for some time. So let me see, what exactly do they have? And I couldn't believe it, that, you know, well, how could they call it all natural when they have, you know, 7-8 of the ingredients that are synthetic? So, and then when I tried to find all natural product, like at natural expos, you know, those conferences where it's all natural product, and I realized the product was not stable. You know, some of the products, I just, you know, the quality, I just couldn't trust it. So I thought, you know, gosh, I guess I have to make it myself. And I, you know, the one reason I realized I should was because I have access to the stem cell component, right? Yeah. And then I also, you know, I understand about peptides and how powerful they are, these natural molecules. So if I can bring those into the formulation, that's going to make it super powerful. And then I can make it as natural as, you know, my heart desires. And so even the preservative in the product is natural, you know, there's absolutely no compromise. So it's been really successful. You know, patients and doctors really love it. Estheticians who've seen all the products on the, in the, you know, all around, they very much think it's probably the best product. I mean, I really think it's the best product there is.
Well, I was impressed. And so folks who are listening or watching me, you guys, I owned a spa for quite some time in Tacoma. We had all kinds of reps come through. I saw all kinds of products, been to the expos, the natural, the not so natural. I mean, I've seen a lot. And when I looked at you, I was like, wow, okay, we've got things that work. Because one of the problems, and we were talking about it before we jumped on, is the natural stuff's great. It looks great in theory. But like you said, stability and then functionality. We do not have a couple of different things if they're not using peptides, if they're not using, you know, even stem cells. So let's back up, because I think for right now, people might be like, okay, stem cells, I've heard of them. They're super controversial. And I with skincare, I believe that really truly to get the most results, yes, there's the topical, but I do like the internal. I really, really do like IVs and things of that nature. And let's talk about stem cell IVs for a minute. Let's talk a little bit about that, the injections, so folks can kind of understand where, like, let's talk about your company and let's talk about, like, where are you guys sourcing the stem cells from? You know, what's the process? Let's bust some myths here, because I think a lot of people think that there's a back door at an abortion clinic and they're going, and I'm being real, because this is what patients have said to me, like, oh, they're just getting those stem cells in the back door at an abortion clinic. I'm like, let's start with that one first and talk about stem cells. Yeah.
So first of all, it's not legal in this country. And no company I know of is doing that. So in the US, the embryonic stem cells or fetal stem cells are not legal. So unless you are under some kind of clinical study, so you can't just go ahead and give the product, you know, provide it as a treatment. But I don't think there's any fetal stem cell, you know, as far as clinical studies. There may be some embryonic stem cells studies, but there's a lot of problems with embryonic stem cells because we still have trouble controlling their behavior, and they can go wild and form a tumor called teratoma. So, you know, I'm not a proponent of using it unless we actually are there scientifically, that we know how to navigate, you know, these, you know, how to direct these cells and not let them go crazy. So one thing that people need to realize, you know, what's interesting, embryonic stem cells, you know, just think about how many embryos in the body that mother may have had, but ended up, you know, there may be a miscarriage, an abortion, you know, a lot of miscarriage, mother doesn't even know that the dividing embryo is not surviving because there may be genetic problems, some variability. So there are a lot of issues with embryonic stem cells, but by the grace of God, if you're able to form a full human being, all the organs are in the right place and they're all functioning perfectly, you've got a live, healthy birth. And then you use the birth tissue that's usually tossed in the trash. You utilize all the stem cells that's in the birth tissue. That's a whole other matter, right? You already got an insurance that here, this is vibrant, healthy baby. So what we do is that we always get cells from the US source. So only American donors who have gone through very, very rigorous, you know, very strict prenatal care. So they're followed up, and our lab, you know, follows these patients. And we only accept mothers who are going through elective C-section. So, you know, no emergency C-sections, but elective. So that we can preserve the sterility of the operating field, right? So, you know, so the placenta, all the birth tissue material doesn't go through the vaginal canal, which has a lot of, you know, bacteria and, you know, a lot of, you know, contaminants. So that's one thing. And then our lab is very careful in getting the cells from sources, from clinics where we can get the tissue right away. Instead of a lot of other labs, they're getting it from procurement companies that will overnight ship the product. And during the overnight shipping process, there's already a reduction in viability because they put the product in the saline bag and they ship it to the lab. And then, you know, just during that overnight process, you've already lost a lot of viability. So we use very fresh tissue. And the mothers go through incredibly rigorous screening. So just like any organ transplantation, let's say someone wants to donate a liver, and they have to meet, you know, all the screening criteria as far as infectious diseases, right? And so we do all that plus more, including checking for Lyme disease, checking for COVID, for Chagas, prion disease. So we check above and beyond what's required. And we also check for genetic defects. So that's also above and beyond what the FDA requires for tissue transplantation. So the genetic testing was not required, but our labs does it. And so when you get the tissue and you carefully process them, and then after the mother has gone through, you know, very, very strict screening, you know, they're always asked, would you like to save the cord for your baby? And 90% of them will say no, because it is costly to save them a few thousand dollars a year. So when they're not, you know, when they decline to save it, then they're asked, would you like to donate? And you know, they're not allowed to be compensated in any way. So we can't even, you know, give them a little gift, you know, to seduce them kind of to donate, because you're not allowed to sell human tissue. That's against the law. So there's really no reason for people to lie and, you know, lie on their questionnaires, you know, about their health status just so that they could donate a tissue. And that's not the case when people go overseas. For example, in Ukraine, they do fetal stem cell treatments, and they get a lot of fetuses from these abortion clinics in Russia, and women go there and get paid and abort their babies. So that is, you know, a serious concern. So though we don't do anything like that. So we only get it from live healthy births and after very strict screening. And once we get the tissue, we actually, you know, first we screen for all these infectious diseases and genetic defects. And then we start processing the tissue. And after the tissue is carefully separated from its, you know, from the umbilical cord or placenta, they're frozen in a very careful manner by lowering the temperature by 1 degree per minute. And then this final product, the frozen product, will be sent out to a lab to do sterility testing. So just so that they it'll take a few weeks so that they can check to see if anything grows, any fungus, you know, any, you know, bacteria, any endotoxins produced. So that sterility testing is very important, right? Because, you know, you could introduce something when you're processing. So only when that comes back as, you know, passing the test, that's when we can send it out and send it to doctors for treatment.
Wow. Wow. It sounds like a ton of steps. And obviously, yes, the story of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine is kind of what everybody asks me about when they hear about stem cells in a product and things of that nature. So thank you for sharing that for us, because I think a lot of people are still confused as to how we get these things. And it makes sense that, you know, there would be such a rigorous test that you're going through. And I love it. I love it that you guys are doing all of that research. And so now you get an isolated product, and that product is either injected or it's put in through intravenous use, or it goes for your creams then.
Yeah. So, so as a company, we are limited, you know, as far as providing the stem cell product, you know, we're limited on, you know, what we tell doctors that they can do. So, you know, we only advocate for homologous use, which means what the cells were doing in the body before you separated them and extracted them is what the cells are going to be doing in the body after. So that's a whole other subject. So the FDA feels very comfortable when you inject things locally, because they still believe the stem cell, I mean, the umbilical cord's function is to protect and cushion the blood vessels. And, you know, really they're doing so much more. The placenta and the umbilical cord, these stem cells that we separate are in the perivascular region. So they're right along blood vessels. They secrete a lot of signals. They help direct growth of the fetus. And they're very, very young. They're a lot younger than the cells in the newborn baby. They're kind of in between, because they were trapped in the process of forming the embryo. So they're kind of in between embryonic stem cells and the baby's stem cells. So these are really, really powerful, interesting cells. So, you know, homologous use, you know, that's a very interesting concept. So if the cells were, you know, their function in the umbilical cord and placenta was to help direct the growth of the baby, then, you know, or repair of the body. And then if we put in IV, you know, that's what they're doing as well, because, you know, what they were doing was they were right along blood vessels. They could get into the blood vessels and swim upstream to where they're needed. So they have dual functions, just like how they are now in the body. They're right along your blood vessels, and if they're needed, they will go into your blood vessels and then travel to the site that you're needed, that's needed. So to me, it does fulfill the homologous, but as a company, I do not advocate for that, but as an educator and a physician, I do that on myself. And then I, you know, I tell people that this is an experimental procedure, which in California, we are required by law to tell people. And we have a notice on the door. We tell people this is experimental, it's not FDA approved. So I've seen incredible results. And the key is that I always go for evidence. You know, I look at what has been shown in clinical studies. So just on the side, you know, I founded American Academy of Integrated Cell Therapy because I wanted doctors to practice evidence-based medicine, right? So you want to see what you're saying, has it ever been backed up by any studies? So, you know, in this course I teach Fundamentals of Stem Cell Practice, I share over 300 articles with doctors, all categorized by organ systems and disease categories. So people can see for whatever condition they're encountering to see if there's any studies that have been done. And a lot of them have, from head to toe. So, you know, I had 30 categories. It's really, really exciting. So, you know, evidence is first. And then, you know, education. I just want doctor to, you know, to do it the right way. If they do want to do IV treatments, like what's conducted in a lot of studies. So, we're still in a little bit of a battle zone right now. So just, I think it was yesterday, the FDA just lost a case against this stem cell clinic in California. They were using autologous fat-derived stem cells. And the FDA says that they are producing a unapproved drug. And the clinic said, no, this is a surgical procedure. This is not, it should not be governed as a pharmaceutical, that this is a, you know, a medical procedure. So the court ruling, it took a year after the final arguments. Finally, the ruling came out yesterday and they won the case. So it's a big win for people doing stem cell therapy, which are helping so many people. And I, you know, yes, we need to have high quality products. We need to have, you know, governance, like any medicine, you know, any medicine that we practice, you know, you need to have good people doing good things and following a good protocol. There are always going to be bad actors, no matter what you do. We know there are a lot of bad doctors, you know, they can practice everything that's approved, but they do terrible damage to people. So, you know, whatever medical treatments that people do, it's not the treatment's fault, right? Just like there can be terrible surgery outcomes. You know, do you ban that surgery? You know, for every surgical procedure, there can be bad outcomes, right? For every medication, there can be, you know, some side effects. Do you just ban everything? So, besides the side effect profile of stem cell therapy, I challenge anybody to go online and look. I mean, it's extraordinarily safe because I had people who looked. They're like, some people are really, really, really like OCD-ish, you know, very obsessive. And they looked everywhere, scoured internet for problems with these products. If we've had, you know, like, you know, one of the terrible side effects of you know, most of these medications that we use, you know, doctors use, you know, we'll be shut down, you know, like that. Oh, this is a dangerous therapy. So extraordinarily safe. So for people who are, you know, proclaiming to be the watchdogs for consumer safety, I think it's a little bit one-sided and misguided, a little bit of double standard.
Oh, I would say for sure. And those of you who are listening, when you see those things that say stem cell therapy scam, this scam, I mean, just, it's like with anything, we have to do our own due diligence on it our own, does it make sense to you?
And I put out a video saying what's the best clinic to choose, right? You want to make sure the doctor that's doing the treatment is actually educated on the subject. Do they have any certifications? You know, have they educated themselves? What do they know? Do they just get a product from a rep from a lab and just, you know, started following the protocol, the lab, you know, the rep for the company? Because that's what a lot of doctors are doing. They don't really know much about stem cells therapy, but they're told this is great and you can like make a lot of money. So then they jump into it. So make sure that you understand the doctors, you know, the doctor has a great reputation and is educated in this area and is using really trustworthy products, because, you know, these products can vary greatly. So, but you don't shut down a whole industry just because some people are producing, you know, bad products. It's like, you know, like a drug, let's say aspirin, right? And there's a couple companies that had contaminated aspirin. Do you just shut down, you just ban aspirin altogether? I mean, it makes no sense.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, I think a lot of people listening right now might be like, okay, Dr. Joy, so if I am considering stem cell, you know, is there a website I can go to look, you know, maybe under you? Is there somewhere that they can look to see who's not approved? I don't want to use the word approved because it's like Yelp and that's a joke too. But I'm meaning more like someone who has the right education, perhaps someone who's using your products. Do you guys have a practitioner list? Is that a thing or?
Yeah, we're not listing it, but if somebody approaches us, we're happy to provide referrals. So they can go to, I think one of the websites that people are really going to find helpful is the American Academy of Integrated Cell Therapy. So it's just AAICT.org. So they can go on there, they can send us an email if they want to get a referral, we can provide that, or they can come see me in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So our clinic website is upliftcenter.com. So uplift with a Y. So, you know, there's some, you know, good practitioners throughout the country that I can refer people to.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I think that's important because, you know, a lot of people know, okay, stem cells, it's amazing, but we've all heard stories of people going to either South America. You know, I've had multiple patients come back from, I think Colombia, I want to say maybe Brazil, coming back from there. I've had people come back from Mexico. I've had people come back from even some of the US, not US, Caribbean islands, let's put it that way, that mm-hmm. have had treatments and they come back and you know, they have all these frozen stem cells that they need to have putting back into their body. And I'm like, okay, where'd you get those? Like, it makes me question, you know, back to the concept of this is some backdoor, you know, kind of thing. And I think a lot of people have seen that and heard how much these people are paying. And they're like, man, I don't know, for something sketchy like that, would I want to do that? So knowing—
Yeah, just a few words on what's going on in Central and South America. So yeah, they have less regulations compared to the US. So in the US, the kind of product we provide is pure tissue transplant. So that's why we're able to do it without the, you know, drug approval, because it's considered tissue transplantation because the cells were separated out carefully from the human body. They were not changed in any way. We don't use enzymes, we don't use chemicals, and we carefully preserve them. And then we give it back to the person. We don't grow them in culture. So what a lot of these companies do, probably almost all of them, and the reason they're overseas, there's a reason they're not doing it in the US, is because they can't grow the cells to huge numbers and give it to people without the FDA knocking on their doors. Because the FDA says, if you start growing cells, then you're making a drug because there are changes can happen, you know, in the cell population, that you're changing the cell, you're changing their characteristics, which is true. Or when they use certain enzyme to break down collagen, it can break down certain cell surface receptors. It can digest them. So it's not, you know, it's not just, oh, you break down collagen and I free the cells, but you can change the cells. So that's why there's reason. And it makes sense that the FDA says, okay, if you're going to change things in some ways, then you need to apply for an investigational new drug study, IND study. And that's a very costly process. Yeah. Time consuming and costly. And when you're in the study, you can't charge for the treatment. So it's a huge investment, right? So what do they do? Okay, they want to grow the cells so they can say we're giving people 200, 300 million cells when they can't do it here. It's not economically feasible. So then they go overseas. The problem with growing the cells in that manner is that it changes cells. So I have a YouTube video called, you know, is stem cell therapy in Panama better? Because I, you know, just, you know, I got asked that question so much and I just kind of just impromptu, I just recorded the session I had when I was, you know, doing training with a provider. So basically when you grow cells, and it's really, you know, nothing grows on trees, right? It's like growing money on trees. And that's what they're doing, you know, from you know, one pot of cells that may be good only for a treatment of for one person, they can grow that into thousands of them. Imagine dividing that one pot instead of, you know, using that to treat somebody, you divide it by 1,000 and you're still charging a huge amount of money. It's literally like printing money on trees. So the problem is that, you know, these cells don't divide symmetrically. Most of the time they divide into a cell that's identical to themselves, it's still a stem cell, and then another one that's daughter cell that's gaining function and gaining new surface receptors, which can cause immune reaction. They're growing them in a culture. If you put the cells in the body, there's a capability between the body and the cells to communicate, so the cells would not start to produce things that are detrimental, you know, to its own survival. It's just, you know, I don't know exactly how it works, but evidence certainly shows that. So you grow them in the vat and then they just start to express their surface receptors. Then the recipient, their body can react to that. Not only they express surface receptors, they lose potency. So I have, you know, statistics from this company that did study looking at MSCs. So mesenchymal stem cells, you know, the one that we're kind of going after the most at this point. They were testing for efficacy of these cells, their capabilities and their effectiveness and potency. So 10,000 cells produce certain effect, and then they give 10,000, and then they give 100,000, then it's the higher level of benefit because there's dose response. So that's 100,000, but these are native cells, which means that they've never been grown to large numbers, right? They're just what they were, just what, and that's what they used. And then they used expanded cells, the cells that have been grown to huge numbers, and they give 100 million. So, I mean, 1 million. So instead of 100,000, they give 1 million. And the effect is like this. So you lose potency when you grow them in large numbers. And there's studies that have shown even if growing cells in the culture, you know, with passage of 24 hours, you decrease their ability to home in. So homing capabilities, tracking and finding place they need to go, and engrafting, which means staying in a place and start, you know, become a resident cell and start, you know, producing its, you know, exerting its functions. So, yeah, so there's evidence that more is not better. But people are so enticed to, you know, by the rhetoric. And it's so funny. I had a patient who talked with them and they were saying, oh yeah, you know, people in the US are just jealous of us. They say our cells are not as good because they can't grow them and we can. And it's just so funny. But, you know, there's a problem, you know, they're dividing this huge amount of cells into three infusions. And I've heard this over and over again. The first infusion, a person's fine. It's going to be difficult for them to give all of them to one because they're afraid of huge rejection issues. Right. But if they divide into three within a week, which, you know, in our treatment, there's no need to divide your cells into three sessions in a whole week. But that's what they do. And then the second time, a person can have a higher rate of, you know, side effects because your body is noticing something that's different from your body. Yeah. And then the third time is even more severe. So these are some of the problems. And yeah, the technology can get better, but right now, more is not better.
You know, I'm glad that you kind of broke it down for folks, because I have had, like I said, patients come back with their frozen vials asking me to do IVs or, you know, do I know anyone that can put them, you know, in for them? And it's like, okay, you know, it's scary. And have I had people who have done that and had them put back in, you know, in my practice and had reactions, not particularly in terms of people I know, but other docs that I do know have had people with reactions from some of the products that they've brought back from South America, Central America, and some of the Caribbean spots. So it's interesting. It's one of those things that, you know, for me terrified me a little bit, because I'm like, okay, I don't know I want people to get the care they need. I love it, you know, anti-aging medicine, but I'm like, where do they go? Now we know, Dr. Joy, guys, that's the answer. Yeah. and anybody else that she recommends, you know, that gives us that safety mechanism, I think, is the biggest thing, because you don't want to be putting something in your body that you don't know what it's going to do and turn. And this kind of brings me full circle to the skincare, because with the stem cells, with the different things, we were talking about apple stem cells because apple stem cells about, oh, maybe like a decade ago became really hot. They were like the thing to put on your skin because the stem cells from the apple were somehow going to tell your cells what to do. Explain to us why apple stem cells don't tell humans what to do.
It has no scientific sense. It makes no sense. And, you know, when people talk about, you know, plant stem cells, I just ask, I say, are you a plant? Because if you are a plant, the plant stem cells is really going to help you. You know, that's very, very, you know, that's going to be good because the plant stem cells will secrete particular signals for that plant. And it's not for you. It's not meant for you. So you want the signals, all the cytokines, the growth factors that's tailored to human beings. And so you need human cells and not even animal cells. You know, I know there are people who use shark, rabbit, sheep. I mean, it makes no sense when we have perfectly good human cells. It just absolutely makes no sense. So I don't even know what people are thinking. Yeah. So
it was a hot topic. I think, you know, it's kind of like the idea of all the other plant medicine. It's cool. We're using plants, you know, and obviously we know that there are certain things with the plant medicine that's great for the skin, but it was one of those things that I just was like, now, of course I want to talk about your skincare line. Cause guys, we talked about Dr. Joyce Center, the Uplift Center, and that's Lift with a Y, and I'll have it in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. But I really want to talk about your skincare line too, because I haven't talked about skin per se on the podcast and want to give folks something, because let's put it this way. And you know, just as well as I do, it's hard, as we talked about, hard to find skincare lines that aren't toxic, that do have benefit, because there will be one company that I used to love because they got results, but they had a lot of parabens in them. And I'm not going to name call the company out, but they're very popular with higher end spas and clinics, and they have quite the protocol. But the issue is, and it was really good because I have hyperpigmentation. And so what it was doing was lightening my skin, but it was also helping with fine lines and wrinkles. But I read the label because, like you, you're like, oh, this is working. It looks so good. Everybody talked it up. And then I read the label and went, oh my God, there's like parabens in every single one of these, in addition to other things. So that was a very long rant for me being like, tell us what went into developing the Chara Omni skincare.
No, I think people need to hear, because, you know, a lot of other people may have the same desire to put something really healthy on their skin, but they didn't, you know, do what you just did. I bet you a lot of people who have heard this probably going to pick up their bottle and take a look at what's actually in there. So, So what we make sure was, you know, all these essential ingredients. So, you know, the birth tissue derived cells, you know, and extracellular matrix, which is very helpful for skin health as well. So the cells are not alive. So I want people to understand that, you know, it's going to be extraordinarily hard to keep cells alive in a cream. So they're not alive, but they will have these very, very early regenerative components that we can utilize that's going to go into your skin. So it's got the birth tissue components, you know, from Wharton's jelly extract, and then the amniotic extracellular matrix. And then we have some hyaluronic acid, and then natural oils are really important. I don't know if people understand, you know, oils are really important. You know, really crucial, reducing inflammation, you know, creating, you know, great barrier. And so we use oils that don't clog pores, and like coconut oil, primrose oil, lemongrass oil. You know, some oils have antimicrobial properties and can sterilize the pores and reduce pore size. And, you know, it's really, really awesome. And it can dissolve blackheads and open up blocked pores. So, you know, this is why when people use my product, I mean, you can see my skin, I don't have any foundation. I don't use anything. That's just a kind of a natural, just a glow. You know, I just have it 24/7 because I use it morning and night, and it lasts you all day. That's one thing people, you know, love about it. It just keeps your skin supple, you know, all day long. And you know, it's wonderful. And then we have so many herbal extracts. you know, from, you know, different like honeysuckle flower extracts, you know, really interesting. It's used in traditional Chinese medicine. It's anti-inflammatory, it's rich in antioxidant, it can even the skin tone, it's antibacterial. So it's like a natural skin cleanser. And then we have aloe vera leaf extract, the chamomile extract, and that, you know, also enhances skin healing and can also, you know, reduce clogged pores. And there's just so many white tea leaf extract, and that protects collagen and elastin and reduces DNA damage, can help bring more blood flow to the face. And we have ginseng root extract, anti-inflammatory, reduces redness, puffiness, dark circles, and can stimulate skin metabolism, increase collagen production, and reduce sun damage. You know, very rich in all kinds of nutrients. Lemon peel extract that reduces hyperpigmentation, enhances skin clarity, and protects against skin cancer. So we have natural things, you know, some of them have natural sunblocking properties. Calendula, yeah, that has UV protection properties. So we already have natural herbal products that can serve as sunscreens and can, you know, unclog pores and cleanse your skin. So it's just, you know, they're so exciting and so fun. And then we put different antioxidants in it, you know, like alpha lipoic acid, CoQ10, and then some prebiotics to help nourish the good bacteria that you need on your skin surface. So it's a really, really exciting blend.
It's really well-rounded. I like, you know, so I have a background in Chinese medicine because I'm an acupuncturist. And so when I saw the honeysuckle, I was like, oh, nice. You know, always something in anti-aging in a lot of the formulas. But also what I'm looking at, you know, with the vitamin E, the CoQ10, the alpha lipoic, I'm always, when I see that, I think of anti-aging just internally in the body too. And so, you know, you've kind of covered all of the bases, if you will, for folks here. Now, I think one of the big things that folks are probably thinking now is like, okay, so we have all these great things in there. And it's just like, let's put it this way with other skincare. Oh, there's all these great things. What sets you guys apart in terms of stabilizers and the cream that it sits in? Because you've got the oil. So I'm guessing that's part of what's whipped to help with the application and keeping it stable. But what is the stabilizer that you use for keeping it like from gaining bacterias and things of that nature and all of that?
Well, these oils, you know, some of the products that have antibacterial properties on their own. So we do use, you know, certain other things to help bind them, and they're all natural components. They're all natural extracts. So we do have a proprietary blend, and, you know, our lab is pretty incredible, you know, master cream makers. They're able to, cause it takes, you know, a lot of, you know, tests and, you know, to make sure that we get a fantastic blend. So, but we do have, you know, certain, you know, a whole range of ingredients that I haven't talked about that help stabilize the structure and you know, keep the freshness.
Well, I don't want to give you away the proprietary blend per se, but what won't we find in your product? Let's go that route, cause that's really what I'm getting at, is like, we're not going to find parabens, I'm guessing.
Anything that's synthetic.
Okay.
Just so any synthetic molecule, you won't find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's acrylamides. There's a lot of stuff, guys, that I can list out on my drjcrossnd.com notes, because I think a lot of people are always asking me like, sodium lauryl sulfate, is it bad? Is it good? You know, should I avoid things? Should I not?
And yeah, this is really crucial. 100% natural. You know, that was my promise. And of course, I've been using this cream for 3 years, you know, religiously every day. I mean, some of the people who are really sensitive to all kinds of products actually find, you know, ours been really, really, you know, great, very easy to use, because there's nothing irritating in it. And people with breakouts, you know, pretty rapidly reducing the redness and rash and recover even pigmentations, you know, reduction. And I had, you know, a couple ladies who were telling me that they had some kind of skin growth and it fell off. That was pretty remarkable. I was like, wow, sure. I didn't expect that.
Well, I'm hoping I'm going to get my hands on some of it before I release this podcast so that folks, you can see me now. Take a good look. And then you can see me after, because then I'll have at least, because this podcast will go out in a couple of months. And so what will happen is I'll have enough time to be able to use the product so that folks can see in real time what things look like from.
That's right. I always tell people, yeah, do it before and after, see for yourself. It doesn't take long, you know, give it 3-4 weeks, you know, just, you know, same lighting, no cheating, you know, and then before and after and see the difference.
Awesome. Well, we're going to do that, Dr. Joy. We're definitely going to do that, because I have some serious, well, I love the sun. I absolutely love it. And so having a product that actually has a little bit of anti-sun, I don't know that was not the word I wanted to go with.
Protection. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. A little bit of that in it to keep me from putting on the caking stuff. I'm going to go for it.
Absolutely.
Try it out. So Chara Omni, CharaOmni.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so folks can find it there. And then folks can find you over in Los Angeles. Give us the scoop in terms of Los Angeles and the Uplift Center and all that. What all can they find over there?
So the clinic the clinic is called Uplift Longevity Center. Okay. And so the website is just upliftcenter.com Uplift with a Y. And just can send us a, you know, email, or, you know, just find us on the website and send us an inquiry, and we will take care of you.
Nice. I'm looking forward to finally having a referral that I feel comfortable with for stem cell. And, you know, my folks are just up the coast in the Tacoma and Seattle area, so not too far up the line. And then, of course, the podcast, you know, we might reach anybody anywhere around here. So I'm sure you guys take care of folks who will fly in and have care as well.
Oh, yeah. We do that all the time. Yeah. From all around the country and the world.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Joy, thank you so much for sharing all of the information and helping us to really understand stem cells better, because unfortunately there's been too much back and forth with media and different things there. And I'm just thankful that you have created such a great product. You're selling it to other docs, you're educating docs so we don't, you know, fall astray. And that's the huge part here. So thank you.
Yeah. And I love doing that. Thank you. I love doing that, because I just feel like we're all in this together. You know, it's like we're making the new wave, and we're marching forward together. You know, it's beautiful to have colleagues who are like-minded, who are really open to new evidence in science instead of closed up. So anybody that's doing stem cells usually is pretty open-minded. So I love, you know, working with docs like that.
We'll definitely make sure that some more folks come your way and get some more research for you, and let's bolster that website for you so that we've got lots of data behind what's going on here with the stem cells.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much, Janine.
You're welcome.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.